This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Tonight, the excessive heat moves into the east. Authorities now warning to prepare for 6 or 7 days straight of this. Heat warnings and advisories for 29 states now, more than 140 million Americans. The severe heat fueling wildfires in this country, and the Northeast now preparing for the longest heat wave in nearly a decade. The heat index, the feel-like reading, reaching 100 degrees in several major cities. Washington, D.C., New York, Boston, Philadelphia declaring a heat emergency. And tonight, just in, strong turbulence on an American Airlines flight, sending multiple passengers to the hospital, the plane diverting. Whit Johnson from New York, senior meteorologist Rob Marciano timing it out. Tonight, President Biden calling on Congress to act on climate change, but with Senator Joe Manchin pulling his support, what can the president really do? What the president said today, and Terry Moran on that tonight. The primetime hearing for tomorrow night from the January 6th committee. Tonight, we learn who the American people will hear from, including former White House counsel Pat Cipollone, who has been asked about conversations within the cabinet involving the 25th Amendment, which would remove a sitting president, and what Cipollone warned the president. Jonathan Carl tonight with new reporting. In Washington today, the emotional appeal from Ukraine's first lady addressing lawmakers on the Hill, the images of the children she brought with her, the standing ovation, and after U.S. intelligence warned of what Putin could be planning next, what we're now hearing tonight from Russia's foreign minister, Rachel Scott, on the Hill. It was the story that made national headlines. The Turpin children, authorities say, trapped in their home for years, some chained to beds. Tonight, allegations of their second horror. 6 of the 13 Turpin siblings filing a lawsuit. What allegedly happened to them when placed in foster care. In the Northeast, swimmers on high alert, multiple shark sightings at some popular New York City area beaches. And on Long Island now, at least 5 shark attacks. Ariel Reshef on the shore. News coming in on that disgraced attorney Alec Murdoch, his answer to those new charges he murdered his wife and son. Ivana Trump remembered in New York City, the former president and his children in Manhattan to remember their mother. And America strong tonight, the dog saved in the Harlem River, and the birthday party you will not forget.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here on a very busy Wednesday night. And we begin tonight with the oppressive heat across this country. More than 140 million Americans in 29 states under heat alerts now. The dangerous heat wave now reaching the Northeast. It takes 3 days above 90 for an official heat wave. Forecasters are now warning millions here in the Northeast. This could last for 6 to 7 days. Boston tonight declaring a heat emergency. Philadelphia extending that city's heat advisory through Sunday already. And tonight, no relief in the plains either. A grass fire forcing evacuations. These images tonight from Mangum, Oklahoma. Dallas, Oklahoma City, and Tulsa all approaching 110 degrees in the days ahead. Doctors and public officials urging caution tonight, urging Americans to stay inside if possible, to stay cool, and of course, hydrate. Make sure you're drinking water. Power grids under stress, an anxious eye on Texas, of course, after what happened there before. And here in New York tonight, Con Ed sending alerts to customers to conserve power. We've also learned tonight 7 soldiers have been injured in a lightning strike at Fort Gordon in Georgia, and severe turbulence on a flight from Tampa to Nashville, sending multiple people to the hospital. We do have it all covered. ABC's Whit Johnson leading us off here.
Tonight, that dangerous heat and humidity now taking aim at the East Coast. So hot in Philadelphia, officials shoring up emergency resources to protect public health.
The city of Philadelphia just declaring a heat emergency, which will go into effect tomorrow.
New York City potentially facing the longest heat wave in 9 years. Workers sweltering under the blazing sun.
As we go through the evening hours, check this out. Even at 10, 11 o'clock, still feels like 90 degrees with the heat and humidity.
The heat also fueling storms in the south. At Fort Gordon in Georgia, 10 soldiers were injured after a lightning strike in a training area. And an American Airlines flight from Tampa to Nashville diverting to Birmingham after severe turbulence. 8 people were hurt. Doctors urging people to stay hydrated and avoid prolonged exposure outside. Phelps Hospital in Westchester County, New York, seeing a 30 to 40% uptick in heat-related visits to the ER.
We see both heat-related emergencies, but then also significant heat can exacerbate really anything. So patients are more likely to have heart attacks. They're more likely to have strokes.
In Red Bank, New Jersey, a hospital racing to relocate some patients after the air conditioning in the emergency room failed for a time. Officials say all are safe. Experts say climate change has made rare heat waves 3 to 5 degrees warmer in much of the U.S., and it's at least doubled the likelihood of record-breaking hot summer days. The heat alert's now stretching from coast to coast, with most of Texas still over 100 degrees, fueling multiple fires. And officials say so far the state's power grid is holding. But for millions in the plains, no sign of relief anytime soon.
And David, here in New York, Con Edison is actually sending out text message alerts, trying to convince people to limit their energy use to try to prevent any possible outages. They also say that they're mobilizing more resources to respond to possible problems with this heat wave expected to last possibly in the next week. David?
Yeah, that's the incredible thing. Whit Johnson leading us off with thank you. Let's get right to senior meteorologist Rob Marciano. And Rob, we were talking about this before. Whit just mentioned it again, 3 days above 90 degrees for a heat wave. And in several major cities, including here in New York City, you believe this could be 6 to 7 days of this?
Yeah, the last time we did this was about a decade ago, and I think the major cities in the Northeast will see this sort of stretch. But the heat is only expanding across much of the country through the heartland and through the southern plains. They've had it really bad, and that continues. Warnings are up there. Oklahoma, you haven't had it seen this sort of heat as a state ever. Dallas, Austin, you set records again today, and the warnings remain up through Memphis and in through southern Indiana. And on the corners, the Southwest remains hot, and across the Northeast, the I-95 corridor, we spoke about this, the next 3 days are looking like this. Mid-90s, Hartford, mid to upper 90s in Boston, nearing 100 degrees in Philadelphia. We do have a front that's spawning severe weather across Ohio. This is a weak front, and it will impact places like Atlanta and Charlotte tomorrow with strong winds and isolated tornado flash flooding in the New England area. But this is not going to cool us off all that much. This extended stretch of hot weather will continue into next week. And yes, it is amplified by climate change. David?
Rob, we know you and Ginger will stay on this for us right through this stretch. Thank you. And we also continue to watch the heat emergency overseas, that searing heat and the persisting wildfire danger across southern Europe tonight. Spain battling fires in 5 regions as the National Weather Service there is now forecasting even higher temperatures on the way for Spain. In Greece tonight, residents stepping in to battle the flames in Athens. Nearly 100,000 people forced to flee their homes for some time now. While in London tonight, the mayor there now says those fires are contained that we reported on last night here, but more firefighters battling them than any time since World War II. Back here in this country, President Biden addressing climate change today, and as we have reported here, the president's efforts to pass legislation have been shot down, at least temporarily, by Democratic Senator Joe Manchin. Well, the president in Massachusetts today, where he called climate change a clear and present danger.
As president, I have a responsibility to act with urgency and resolve when our nation faces clear and present dangers. And that's what climate change is about. It is literally, not figuratively, a clear and present danger.
The president then went on to list some things he could do. Terry Moran with us from Washington. But Terry, the bottom line, without enough votes in the Senate, particularly from Senator Manchin, because it's 50-50, what can the president do on his own?
Not much, David, especially given the scale of the climate challenge. But as you say, the president did announce some smaller unilateral initiatives. $2.3 billion to make infrastructure more resilient in those communities most affected by climate change, help low-income Americans with their cooling and air conditioning expenses, and open up areas in the Gulf of Mexico for offshore wind power. But all that really is minuscule compared with the challenge, a national, global challenge that requires a national response, and that can only come from Congress. And without Joe Manchin or a single Republican, this will have to do. For now, David.
All right, Terry Moran tonight. Terry, thanks. We're going to turn now to the primetime hearing set for tomorrow night from the January 6th committee, of course, right here live on ABC. Well, tonight here we learn who the American people will hear from, in particular, former White House counsel Pat Cipollone, who has been asked about conversations within the cabinet involving the 25th Amendment, which would remove a president from office, and what Pat Cipollone warned the president. Here's our chief Washington correspondent, Jonathan Carl, with new reporting here.
The January 6th committee is preparing a dramatic primetime presentation, a detailed accounting of what Donald Trump was doing for more than 3 hours while the U.S. Capitol was under attack by his supporters.
This is all about the president's dereliction of duty and the 187 minutes that he was in the White House while this beautiful building and the Temple of Democracy behind me was under attack.
The key witness will be White House counsel Pat Cipollone, who was with the president in the West Wing on January 6th and who spent some 8 hours answering questions in a videotaped deposition. ABC News has learned that the committee asked Cipollone about conversations within the cabinet about invoking the 25th Amendment, which enables the cabinet to declare a president mentally unfit for office. As I reported in the book Betrayal, as the riot unfolded, Cipollone pleaded with Trump to condemn it, warning him that if he didn't, he risked being removed from office, either through impeachment or the 25th Amendment. Cipollone testified he repeatedly urged Trump to make a public statement calling on his supporters to leave the Capitol.
I felt it was my obligation to continue to push for that, and others felt it was their obligation as well.
Would it have been possible at any moment for the president to walk down to the podium in the briefing room and talk to the nation?
Would it have been possible?
Yes.
Yes, it would have been possible.
And so let's get right to John tonight. John, we know it took months for the committee to persuade Pat Cipollone to testify, and you've learned they did ask him about those conversations regarding whether to invoke the 25th Amendment to remove President Trump from office.
David, Pat Cipollone really is the key witness here. He was one of the few people who was with Trump at the White House when all this went down. And a source close to Cipollone told me that he seriously considered resigning on that day, but decided to stay because he felt things would have been even worse if he had left. David?
All right. This is all again tomorrow night. John, thank you. John will be right here with me, the entire political team, live as we cover this tomorrow night. The January 6th committee, the primetime hearing, it begins at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here, right after World News Tonight tomorrow. Meantime, on Capitol Hill today, the first time the wife of a foreign leader has delivered remarks to so many gathered lawmakers inside the Capitol. Ukraine's Olena Zelenska making an emotional appeal, not, she said, as a first lady, but as a daughter and a mother, she said, thanking the U.S. for its support, but also pleading for air defense systems. And what she brought with her. Rachel Scott on the Hill tonight.
Tonight, an unprecedented and personal plea from the First Lady of Ukraine, Olena Zelenska, warning of a worsening humanitarian crisis.
I want to address you not as First Lady, but as a daughter and as a mother.
One by one, Zelenska showing images of the youngest victims of the war. Four-year-old Lisa, who she met in December, killed by a Russian missile. Her stroller toppled over in the street.
Lisa's mother is in serious condition, and for several days, nobody dared to tell her that Lisa has died.
Five-year-old Eva, who liked to draw pictures, killed alongside her grandmother. And Sofia from Bucha, who lost her mother and her arm in the violence.
How many families like this may still be destroyed by the war?
She pleaded for more weapons, and specifically air defense systems from the U.S., and what she described as a common cause.
We are grateful, really grateful, that the United States stands with us in this fight for our shared values of human life and independence.
Her speech ending with a rousing standing ovation. The U.S. is promising to deliver four more HIMARS rocket systems to Ukraine, in addition to the dozen the U.S. has already sent. Ukrainian officials credit the systems with helping blunt the Russian offensive in eastern Ukraine. But the White House also warning Moscow plans to annex more territory in Ukraine beyond what it already controls.
David, Russia's foreign minister warning today that if Western countries continue to supply Ukraine with long-range weapons, it will expand further into the country, David.
Yeah, seeming to back up that U.S. intelligence. Rachel Scott live on the Hill. Rachel, thank you. Now to news tonight, in a case that made national headlines, we covered it here, the Turpin children, the 13 siblings who escaped years of captivity and abuse by their own parents, some chained to beds. Well, tonight here, allegations of their second horror. Six of the 13 Turpin siblings filing a lawsuit now. What allegedly happened to them when placed in foster care after they were saved from their parents. Here's Steve Osunsami.
This new lawsuit tonight is coming from six of the 13 children who police rescued here in a filthy home east of Los Angeles where authorities found some of the children chained to their beds and all of them treated like no child deserves.
All right, let's just go ahead and detain the parents.
After the sheriff arrested their parents, the county and a private foster care agency sent the younger Turpin children of Riverside, California, to a foster family. And in their lawsuit, the children say that this family was abusive, too. They're accusing their former foster parents and their daughter of hitting them in the face with sandals, pulling their hair, hitting them with a belt, and striking their heads. And yet, they were some of the most well-known foster children in the world, who made headlines everywhere. One of the sisters, who spent time in foster care, first talked with Diane Sawyer.
We were dehydrated, we were starving. They needed to do a lot of stuff to help us get healthy.
The lawsuit accuses their former foster father of grabbing and fondling some of the children. And in one of the more disturbing allegations, they say that their former foster parents would force them to eat excessively and, quote, force them to eat their own vomit.
And while the kids were being abused further, the county closed their eyes.
This case is one where the entire world was watching, and yet even in that situation, the county and ChildNet dropped the ball, which tells you what must be happening and what we've seen happen in other cases with kids who aren't famous.
ChildNet is the private foster care agency that, according to the lawsuit, knew full well that the people in this new home were unfit to be foster parents because they had a prior history of abusing children in their care. A spokesperson for the county says they've not seen the lawsuit, so they have no comment. We reached out to ChildNet and did not get a response. But last year, they told ABC News that they could not comment on the case because of confidentiality laws, but said, "We take our work very seriously, including the extensive vetting of parents."
Tonight, four of the children are still in foster care, and their attorneys say that they are safe and together. And they tell us that the children filed this lawsuit to save other kids. David?
Yeah, it does make you think about all the children across this country. Steve Osunsami. Steve, thanks. Here in New York tonight, swimmers and lifeguards on high alert after multiple shark sightings and at least five shark attacks on Long Island. Ariel Reshef tonight at the shore.
Tonight, swimmers urged to be on high alert at the most popular beaches in the New York City area.
There was a fish that jumped out of the water today, and everyone kind of had a little look to the side, thinking it was a shark.
Park officials shutting down some areas to swimmers for a second day in a row after shark sightings on Long Beach. On Tuesday, similar sightings at other beaches, too.
It was 5 to 6 feet, 25 yards out, and it definitely had the triangular fin.
We both saw it and we took the proper precautions, let the lieutenant know, red flagged the beach.
And New York's Long Island reporting five shark attacks in the last few weeks. Late today, officials saying what appears to be the carcass of a great white shark washed ashore there. New York's Governor Kathy Hochul increasing the number of lifeguards and state troopers patrolling for sharks.
Our beaches are such an important part of our attraction, you know, why people love living here, why they want to visit here, and we need to keep our beaches safe.
With beaches now reopening, surfers cautiously heading back into the water.
It's always something to look out for, especially now. It's a worry.
And David, marine biologists say that warmer waters are drawing those sharks closer to shore, and with more people headed to the beaches over the summer, those interactions are likely to go up. David?
All right, Ariel Reshef tonight. Ariel, thank you. When we come back here on the news tonight, remembering Ivana Trump. The images coming in tonight, the former president and his children remembering their mother here in New York City. Also news coming in on that prominent attorney charged in the murders of his wife and son.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer.
We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Why hide your skin? If Dupixent has your moderate to severe eczema or atopic dermatitis under control.
Hide my skin? Not me.
By hitting eczema where it counts, Dupixent helps heal your skin from within, keeping you one step ahead of eczema.
Hide my skin? Not me.
And that means long-lasting, clearer skin and fast itch relief for adults. With Dupixent, you can show more skin with less eczema.
Hide my skin? Not me.
Serious allergic reactions can occur that can be severe. Tell your doctor about new or worsening eye problems such as eye pain or vision changes, including blurred vision, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop asthma medicines without talking to your doctor. When you help heal your skin from within, you can change how your skin looks and feels. And that's the kind of change you notice. Talk to your eczema specialist about Dupixent, a breakthrough eczema treatment.
What do we want delivered every month? Clumping litter, salmon pate, love that for me. Choose the frequency and ship it. I feel so accomplished. Now you can pet me.
Get fast, free shipping for all your pet's needs. Chewy.
When pain says, it's time to go home, I say, not yet. Aleve, who do you take it for?
Tonight here in New York, a final farewell to Ivana Trump, a private mass near her Upper East Side home, her gold casket carried out of St. Vincent Ferrer Church, her three children and their families walking behind, her ex-husband, the former president, and former First Lady Melania Trump standing with them. Ivana Trump died last week after a fall at her Manhattan home. She was 73 years old. And a not guilty plea today in that double murder from South Carolina that has made national news. Alec Murdoch, the once prominent attorney now disbarred, pleading not guilty to murdering his wife and son. His attorney asking for a speedy trial, saying Murdoch believes the killer or killers are still out there. Murdoch already jailed on insurance fraud charges, ordered to remain behind bars. When we come back here tonight, the dog rescued by New York City firefighters from the Harlem River and what those first responders are now asking for. To the Index and a Good Samaritan and New York City's bravest rescuing a dog in the Harlem River. Firefighters pulling the dog onto their boat, taking him to shore for medical care. Three of the firefighters now applying to adopt the dog together. That'll be cool. Finally, a very deserving 8-year-old girl and her birthday party. This is the story of a little girl in Memphis, Charlotte, losing her mother, Jennifer, not long before her 8th birthday. Jennifer died of brain cancer, and with that birthday coming up, her daughter Charlotte inviting her entire class to her party. But what Charlotte didn't know is that only one person responded. Her big sister Chloe could not understand why.
My little sister turns 8 tomorrow. Her birthday party is going to be this weekend. One child from her class RSVP'd.
Within hours of posting that video, strangers reaching out, wanting to celebrate Charlotte's birthday. Other moms helping Chloe decorate the house. And Charlotte getting her very first birthday party, taking it all in.
You're more beautiful.
Children arriving at the party, a pony, Miss Gracie, coming all the way from Mississippi.
Say happy birthday.
More than 30 cars dropping off presents.
Oh my gosh, I'm sorry.
Charlotte opening them with some of her new friends. And right here tonight, Charlotte.
Hi, David.
She told us what that party meant to her.
Everyone came just to say hello and happy birthday to me. Everything was more than I ever dreamed.
Happy birthday to you!
Happy birthday, Charlotte. You deserve that party and more. Good night.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.